WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives. One moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. A college degree has always been considered the ticket to a better life. My guest, James Traub, describes City College in New York as the longest-running radical social experiment in American history. Founded in 1847, it was America's first urban college. It was a great democratizing institution. Tuition was free, and admission was open to anyone who met its academic standards. But by the late 60s, high academic standards were regarded by many students as a form of discrimination against the urban poor who went to second-rate public schools that didn't prepare them for college. After the student protests of the late 1960s, the college instituted an open admissions program, which relaxed the academic requirements, opening the doors to students in the top half of their graduating class. Journalist James Traub investigates how this experiment is working in his new book, City on a Hill, Testing the American Dream at City College.
City College is a place that for generations symbolized something very fundamental in the United States, and that was the whole promise of social mobility. That is, the idea that you could arrive here with nothing, and through nothing more than your talents and your willingness to work hard, you could succeed and make it into the middle class and have a good life and get all the things that go along with that. It symbolized that because, for so many generations, it was a high-quality college which anybody could get into as long as they had good enough grades. And that was an extraordinary promise, and it meant an enormous amount to the kids who went there, who were almost entirely first or second generation Jewish immigrants. And this was true for about 50 years. So that's the background of the place. That's why it always mattered so much in the past. The reason that it matters so much now is that 25 years ago, there was a decisive change in the way City College let kids in, a change that came to be called open admissions. What it meant is that instead of being a place where you could only get in if you were in the very, very top of your class, it became a place where not anybody, but virtually anybody could get in. And the reason for that change was terribly important and fundamental. And that is that because of its meritocratic character, City was not accepting the great mass of black and Hispanic kids who lived right there in the neighborhood. And it came to symbolize to them not this great meritocratic promise, but the exclusion that they felt all around them. So City changed in order to become the kind of institution which would deal with inner city poverty by bringing kids into that world and offering them that same promise of social mobility that City had been offering kids for the previous generations.
What surprised you about the academic levels that you found in the classes that you attended?
Two or three, but at least let's say two very different things. On the one hand, there's a lot about City College which is really thrilling. It has an engineering college which is very, very rigorous. You can go into English classes or philosophy classes and see kids doing great work. And you feel, when you're in that City College, that the kind of dream that City College once represented is still very much alive. That's the part of City College which I personally, and I think others, are eager and desperate to preserve, not only City College, but any other similar institution which serves inner city kids. That's the happy part of the story. The painful part of the story is City College's attempt to overcome the huge disadvantages which kids bring there. These are primarily academic disadvantages, but there are other things as well. Kids who have grown up in an incredibly disabling inner-city environment have often never been asked to do any kind of rigorous work before, never been given the chance to really exercise self-discipline. So these kids come to City College, 18, 19, 20, with all the baggage of their past history, and the institution tries to transform them academically and not only academically, maybe you could say psychologically or culturally as well. And that's a very hard and often an incredibly painful process to watch. I spent a lot of time in City's remedial program. A big fraction of City's incoming students are placed in remedial classes. Many of these kids have the equivalent of a junior high school education. They read at maybe an eighth or ninth grade level. They've literally never read a book in their entire lives. They've never been asked to do any kind of serious mathematics. So City tries to prepare them for a real college education. And this is really where the rubber hits the road at City College. So in those classes where I spend a good deal of my time, the rate of failure was extremely high. The rate of dropping out among those kids was extremely high. And often you'd sit in these classes and you'd see two or three kids who just delighted you and you thought, those kids are going to make it. But then even the teacher would say, the other kids, I think they're going to drop out. The other two-thirds of the kids, the other three-quarters of the kids. And that's a tremendously demoralizing thing for the teachers, and it was a demoralizing thing for me to witness.
But can't you argue that the college is at least offering this opportunity for people to try? And a few of those students, even if not a lot of them, but at least a few of them, will succeed. And if that program didn't exist, they wouldn't have had that option.
Yeah, Terry, my own feeling is not that you should completely eliminate remedial education from City College and from all the other colleges in this country which have it. First, just because there are just too huge a fraction of kids who have academic problems. But second, because I still want City to be able to perform something of that equal opportunity role. However, if you look at a place where, let's say, 60% of the kids are dropping out, and amongst the group of kids who are the most academically disadvantaged, called the SEEK students, three-quarters are dropping out, maybe four-fifths are dropping out. You say, this is an opportunity which these kids are not able to exploit. And we have an obligation, if the purpose of all this is to help these kids, to find a different way of helping them. This isn't working. I suppose you could say this in general of American higher education, because the dropout rate in colleges in the United States is 40%, which is staggering compared to any Western European country. But here, the consequences are so serious. When you have kids who are brought into a college where there is virtually no chance of their succeeding, they then go ahead and fail. It's arguable that the failure itself is scarring. I don't know if that's true, but I think it might very well be. Whether it is or it isn't, it forces you to think, is there some better alternative to this? Or how do you prepare kids before they ever get to college so that this experience won't happen to them?
My guest is journalist James Traub. He's the author of the new book, City on a Hill, about the open admissions program at City College in New York. More after this break. This is Fresh Air. James Traub is my guest, and he's just written a new book about the City College open admissions program called City on a Hill, Testing the American Dream at City College. I'm sure you spoke to a lot of teachers, and I'm wondering what kind of dilemmas the teachers felt they faced about grading students. Knowing that some of their students came from neighborhoods in which the schools weren't very good and they couldn't possibly have gotten a very good education, and also that these students were really doing their best in spite of economic difficulties, in spite perhaps of family difficulties. So how do you take that into account when you're grading a student's paper?
This is a terribly painful moment, and it crystallizes the dilemmas, the paradox of open admission, because the teachers who are there are often there because they believe in this kind of mission. They believe in the kids. And yet at the same time, they also believe in the academic standards that they, in effect, are sworn to uphold, that they believe in as well. So the moment when these two things come into conflict the most brutally is when they have to give out grades. I talk at some length about a teacher in a remedial class whose name is Rudy Gadamke, who is someone who is passionately attached to the kids and identifies with them, and at the same time hasn't lost his sense of obligation to the standards, hasn't lost his desire to make these kids true college students. At the end of the semester, Rudy said to me, he thought maybe 3 or 4 kids out of, 26, 27, actually deserved to pass the class in the sense that they were reading and thinking at whatever he considered to be a college level. But there was no way he was going to do that to those kids. That would be a cruel blow to them once they had been brought there. So what did he do? He gave maybe 7 or 8 kids a repeat. They had to take the course again. He didn't actually give an F to anybody because he viewed that as being punitive. He gave letter grades, A's and a few B's, to a bunch of other kids. And then he did something which strikes me as being a kind of symbolization of exactly this dilemma. He has something called a contract, which he gave to about 6 kids, which basically says, you didn't succeed by the standards of the course. I don't want to fail you because you tried hard, you made an effort. So I'm going to give you a C. That was the normal degree, conditional upon your making further efforts. You come back next semester and show me that you can do this or that. You work hard, you come see me, you do something. He was trying to find a way of rescuing these kids, and it was I thought it was an honorable way of doing it.
What are the conclusions you reached about this experiment at City College?
I would say first that open admissions doesn't work. It's a failure. And by that I mean not that City College, for example, is a failure, or the other institutions in City University are a failure. I mean the idea that you can transform a kid who has gone through inner city schools and inner city culture in college has not worked. That's, I would say, the most painful and harsh conclusion that I come to in this book. I think the much more fundamental thing, though, is something that the same person, Rudy Gadamke, the same teacher I was speaking of, said to me. He said, as a society, we ignore our kids. And by the time we bring them up here, it's too late. So the larger conclusion that I felt from the time that I spent at City College was that this is not the place to effect the kind of transformation which was required. The answer is not the kind of shortcuts represented by open admission or perhaps affirmative action or similar compensatory social programs. The only answer has to be helping kids when they're younger. And that means taking seriously the need to improve the public schools. It also means altering the environment of the inner city. These kids were at a profound disadvantage compared to a lot of the immigrant students who you would think would be worse off. They didn't even speak English. They had the sense of disorientation of just having arrived. But because they came from a culture that was more supportive, more sustaining than that of the American inner city, they were able to help themselves once they got to City College in a way that these kids couldn't. And until we can address the environment that shapes these kids, we will not be able to alter their trajectory by giving them a college education.
On the other hand, the solution isn't saying, well, you came from a rough background, your schooling wasn't very good, therefore we're not going to even try to help you now, to give you access to more education now.
Right. That's not clearly not the answer. So, and indeed, I think the reason that people have not said before what I've said now is that it raises just that question. Are you saying we should not take these kids and let them go out in the street and have a dead life? Because that seems like the alternative. So I think the alternative for kids who we are not succeeding in giving a good enough education to is to give them real alternatives. Right now, in this country, vocational education is basically a euphemistic term for a dead-end job because we don't know how to do decent vocational education. And in fact, one of the initiatives of President Clinton that I think could have really made a difference and that has been enacted in a very modest way is a vocational program, a school-to-work program, as well as a program that he had that gave kids free tuition at a vocational as well as a higher educational institution in exchange for some kind of national service. So one of the answers has to be to provide meaningful alternatives. That means both in the community college system and vocational education. And I think that I know that that's a hard thing to say because we're saying to kids, you can't go to a senior college. But if it were possible to have a decent life and have a decent career without having to go to college, kids could then go to college for academic reasons and not as they do now, not only at City College, but I think in most colleges in this country, for vocational reasons. And maybe when they got older and they really had the interest in that kind of academic study, they could go to college. They wouldn't have to go because it was the only way they could have a decent life. I think that's a really unfortunate equation we have in this country.
There was a very critical review of your book written in The Nation by John Wiener. And he says that your focus on the lowest levels of City College, meaning the remedial courses, the courses in which the students who are most academically behind participate, that just represents a tiny proportion of what City College does.
Well, again, this is precisely that kind of defensiveness. What's true about City College and lots of other institutions like it is that they still do provide a meaningful education for lots of kids. And there is a big chunk of City College which does that and which I talk about in my book. What Wiener objects to and what I suppose people at City College object to is that I pay attention to this very large remedial world that has been spawned by open admissions at City College, by the way, and at thousands of colleges across the country. Now, you can argue about exactly how many classes there are. that involve the kind of kids whom I talk about. But the fact is that at City, about half of the incoming students take a remedial class.
Is there a difference to you between a program that says any student that gets out of high school can go to a college, but it's going to be a two-year college or a community college, as opposed to any student can get into City College?
Well, yes, because I want a place like City College to really represent the highest possible standards of academia as it did before. I think it matters so much for an inner-city institution like City to say, we stand for the best, and we're going to insist on the best, and we're going to give you the best. So I believe strongly that the community colleges have to serve the function, at least one of the functions, of preparing for college kids who have gotten out of high school without a high school education, without a true high school education. So I would like to see kids, before they go on to a college like City, get the meaningful high school degree that they didn't get in high school through the community college. That's a unique system we have in this country, and it should be used for that purpose. Open admissions to community college is a very different thing from open admissions to a serious senior college like City.
James Traub, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
My guest has been James Traub, the author of City on a Hill, Testing the American Dream at City College. This is Fresh Air.